This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy.
Let's be honest. Loving your partner doesn't mean you always like them, and guess what? That's normal. Regain offers couples therapy that's flexible, affordable, and 100% online.
Whether you're reconnecting or working through conflict, Regain is here to support you both.
See why people wish they'd try couples therapy sooner. Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. That's regain.com/couplespod.
Karma. What's the most satisfying way karma hit someone who thought they could get away with it? Story 1. At my old job, we had a regional manager named Steve who had this golden boy, Mark. Mark could do no wrong in his eyes, even though he regularly stole ideas, dodged work, and blamed others when things went sideways. He especially liked blaming Natalie, a quiet, insanely competent analyst who just kept her head down and worked hard. One quarter, Mark submitted a pitch deck to Steve that landed him a huge bonus. The deck was amazing because it was Natalie's. He'd gone into her drive while she was on PTO and changed a few fonts, then slapped his name on it. Natalie found out, but Steve wouldn't even let her speak during the meeting. So Natalie, calm as ever, put in her 2 weeks. She didn't cause a scene, just left. 3 months later, our company merged with another, and their executive team started cleaning house. New leadership asked everyone to present what they'd accomplished in the last year. Mark strutted in with the same stolen deck, not realizing the new VP of strategy used to mentor Natalie. He recognized her formatting style immediately and asked if Mark had worked with her. Mark stumbled, tried to spin a lie, but the VP already called Natalie in for a reference call. She now worked for one of our new partner companies and had shared everything: emails, file timestamps, even Slack messages. Mark was walked out before lunch. Steve was restructured a week later. Natalie got a formal apology from leadership and ended up consulting with them at triple her old salary. Sweet, quiet revenge, and the most peaceful destruction I've ever seen. Story 2. My neighbor Greg always thought the HOA rules didn't apply to him. He built a second driveway without permits, parked his junk cars all over the shared curb, and threw loud parties that lasted until 4 a.m. Anytime someone complained, he'd act shocked and then double down. One day, my 12-year-old daughter tripped over a rusted car part Greg had tossed into the shared garden bed. She cut her knee badly enough for stitches. I confronted him, and he said, and I quote, "Then maybe teach your brat to watch where she walks." So I filed a complaint with the city, then another with the HOA, and then I did something Greg never expected. I started digging into his home business. Turns out Greg had converted his garage into an unlicensed auto body shop. I gathered video evidence over 2 months of constant illegal repairs, cars pulling in and out at midnight, and invoices being handed over in plastic bags. I sent everything, pictures, video, receipts his customers accidentally left behind, to the city zoning department, the State Business Bureau, and the IRS. 6 weeks later, Greg's entire operation was shut down. Massive fines, IRS audit, HOA violations stacked like pancakes. He ended up selling the house to pay his legal bills. My daughter still has a small scar, but Greg? Greg vanished from the neighborhood with his tail between his legs. Story 3. During my senior year in college, I was part of a project group where one guy, Travis, did nothing but show up on presentation day with excuses. The rest of us, me, Sarah, and Allie, carried the work every step of the way. When we finally presented, Travis tried to take the lead, claimed he did the majority of the data modeling. Our professor seemed skeptical but said nothing. 2 weeks later, grades came in. Travis got an A. We got Bs. We were stunned. Then Sarah remembered something. The spreadsheet we used had hidden cells that logged changes, a feature Travis didn't know about. Every contribution had a timestamp. Every formula was tagged. Ali and I helped Sarah put together a detailed email with screenshots, document version history, and evidence of his complete lack of involvement. The professor not only regraded us, bumping our marks to A's, but referred Travis to the Academic Misconduct Board. He failed the class, lost his scholarship, and was suspended for a semester. He thought we'd let it go. We didn't. Story 4. I once worked with a woman named Dana who was a master manipulator. She'd smile to your face, then send emails behind your back throwing you under the bus. She even forged a co-worker's signature once to cover up a mistake. Everyone suspected it, but no one could prove it. Until she came for me. She claimed I'd misfiled some legal documents and cost the company a client. HR called me in, and Dana sat there smugly nodding as I tried to defend myself. Except I had a habit Dana didn't know about. I recorded my screen while working on sensitive cases, just in case I ever needed to reference how I did something. It was a habit from a previous job where documentation saved me more than once. I showed HR the screen recording. It proved I had filed everything properly, and even more interesting, it showed Dana editing the files after I was done, time-stamped, clear as day. Dana was terminated that afternoon. HR even thanked me for the professionalism. Story 5. At a wedding I attended, the groom's older brother, Liam, thought he was God's gift to the world. Arrogant, always talking over people, always finding ways to make everything about himself. At the rehearsal dinner, he gave a speech that was supposed to be heartfelt. Instead, he made jokes about the bride's past and basically implied the marriage wouldn't last. Everyone was livid, but the groom begged us not to start drama. The next day, during the actual ceremony, karma struck with perfect timing. The venue was outdoors, on a hilltop. As Liam walked down the aisle, he was a groomsman, his shoe caught a root, and he tripped, hard, right into the decorative fountain, full suit, phone ruined. Water spraying. The mic picked up someone in the crowd saying, "Guess Karma RSVP'd too." He tried to recover, but nothing could erase the viral moment. Someone posted the video on TikTok, and it blew up. His office saw it. His date ghosted him. His mother made him apologize publicly to the bride in front of everyone at the reception. Even better, the bride's toast later that night started with, "Some people drown in love, others just drown." The crowd erupted. Story 6. In high school, there was this kid named Brent who loved to bully anyone he thought was beneath him. His favorite target was Aaron, a soft-spoken guy who walked with a limp due to childhood surgery. Brent would mimic his walk in the halls, throw pennies at him, and even convince teachers it was just joking. The school brushed off complaints for years. Brent was a football player. Aaron was invisible. Until senior year, when Aaron quietly started filming. He set up his phone in his locker, his backpack, even in the library. For months, he recorded every smirk, every slur, every push. The footage was crystal clear. The day before graduation, Aaron's parents went to the school board. No warnings, just lawyers. Within 48 hours, Brent was suspended, pulled from the graduation list, and lost a scholarship offer. When he tried to play the victim, Aaron posted a YouTube video, "What They Let Happen," with the footage. It went viral. And Brent? He became the face of school failure. Aaron? He walked across the stage with a standing ovation. Story 7. My roommate Jeff once borrowed my car to run a quick errand. He came back 3 hours later with a cracked front bumper, an empty gas tank, and a lie about someone backing into him in a parking lot. The insurance report said otherwise, street racing. I was livid. I asked him to pay for damages. He ghosted me. Then I found out he'd used my name to sign up for a car parts site and racked up $400 in orders, so I waited quietly. A month later, Jeff landed a job he'd been bragging about, entry level at a luxury dealership. I called the company anonymously and asked to verify a reference for Jeff's character and driving history. Then I sent them an incident report showing my insurance claim, the racing footage I obtained from nearby traffic cams, and the fraud complaint I filed. He was fired within the week. Not only that, but the charges I filed for using my identity stuck. Misdemeanor fraud. He moved out in shame. Never apologized, never spoke again. Karma didn't knock. It drove a tow truck through his front door. Story 8. There was a woman in our apartment complex named Joyce who loved to call animal control on other tenants. Didn't matter if your dog barked once, you'd get a citation. She even called once because a kid's hamster looked too big and might be some exotic species. Eventually, people avoided walking pets past her unit. One summer, we noticed Joyce stopped reporting. Then came the smell. Turns out Joyce had 12 cats. Not registered, not cleaned up after. When someone peeked through her window after she left it open, it was a disaster zone. Trash, fur, litter, and two dead cats she hadn't even noticed were gone. Animal control came this time for her. They confiscated every single cat, issued a $5,000 fine, and she was evicted for violating building health codes. She tried to play the victim, but no one had forgotten her false reports. Not even the officer who'd written up my dog for breathing too loudly. His quote, "Guess she finally met someone who cared about real complaints." Story 9. I worked in a small firm where one guy, Darren, constantly bragged about cheating the system. He'd fake his hours, leave early, take credit.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy. Let's be honest. Loving your partner doesn't mean you always like them, and guess what? That's normal. Regain, powered by BetterHelp, offers couples therapy that's flexible, affordable, and 100% online. Whether you're reconnecting or working through conflict, Regain is here to support you both. See why people wish they'd tried couples therapy sooner. Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. That's regain.com/couplespod.
For junior staff's ideas and manipulate the boss with flattery and half-truths. He even got a promotion over a far more qualified colleague, Michelle, by sabotaging her project timeline behind her back and blaming her for delays. So Michelle did something incredible. She transferred departments but didn't leave the company. Instead, she started documenting Darren's moves, not to get revenge, but because she knew it would collapse eventually. When the company began reviewing expense reports and productivity data for a merger, Michelle quietly submitted a dossier. Emails, time logs, Slack messages, and even witness statements. Darren had overbilled 200 hours and padded expenses with fake client meetings. He was fired immediately, with no severance. But karma didn't stop there. The story spread in the industry. Darren tried to apply elsewhere, but Michelle's evidence had reached HR circles through internal references. His reputation was ruined. Last I heard, he was doing food delivery gigs, clocking every hour for real this time. Story 10. In my freshman year of college, I had a dorm mate, Carla, who was the queen of weaponized kindness. She'd smile and offer cookies while secretly reporting you for every tiny infraction. Music too loud? Reported? Microwave too long? Reported. She had 11 people written up by Thanksgiving. When finals came around, we discovered something wild. Carla had been using a pirated essay site and recycling other students' work. Someone noticed their old high school paper posted in the student essay database under Carla's name. We brought it to the RA. The RA brought it to the Honor Council. Carla was expelled before winter break. But the real kicker? She left behind her phone in the rush and forgot to sign out of the campus-wide group chat where she'd once called everyone brain-dead bottom feeders. A screenshot made the rounds. Everyone saw it. She went from self-appointed hall monitor to persona non grata. No second chances. No one helped her move out. Karma isn't always instant. Sometimes it waits for the quietest week of the semester and explodes. Story 11. My ex-friend Lindsay was the type who treated people like props in her personal drama. One year, she got engaged and asked me to be her maid of honor. I agreed, until I realized she only picked me because I was organized and would do all the work. She didn't let me pick my dress, demanded I design the invites, pay for part of the bachelorette party, and even rewrite her vows because hers weren't poetic enough. The final straw. She scheduled the bridal shower on the anniversary of my mom's death, knowing it, and then told me to get over it. I dropped out of the wedding. 2 weeks later, Lindsay posted a TikTok crying because her entire bridal party abandoned her. She forgot to turn off comments. And her ex-coworkers, former classmates, and even distant cousins filled the thread with receipts. Stories of her being selfish, stealing ideas, trash-talking friends, and even faking illnesses for attention. The post got flagged for misinformation. Then her groom's sister, whom she'd insulted repeatedly, showed the video to the groom. The wedding was canceled 3 days before the date. The venue? Non-refundable. She blamed me. But karma had just waited for the right guest list to arrive. Story 12. A guy on our street named Roy was a chronic HOA rule enforcer for everyone but himself. He'd take photos of your lawn, report trash cans that were left out 15 minutes too long, and even measured how far people parked from the curb. Meanwhile, his own backyard was a junkyard, but no one could prove it. The fence was 6 feet high, until a drone enthusiast moved in. One Saturday, the new neighbor was flying his drone and accidentally steered it into Roy's backyard. The footage he retrieved showed rusted appliances, leaking barrels, even an illegal fire pit stacked with tires. That video got passed around faster than gossip at a bake sale. Multiple residents submitted it to the county. Within 2 weeks, Roy had a visit from the fire marshal, code enforcement, and environmental health. Over $8,000 in fines. The best part? He had to tear down his precious privacy fence so inspectors could monitor cleanup progress. Now he just glares through plastic blinds while the rest of us enjoy our clean, quiet street and wave at the drone every Saturday. Story 13. Back in high school, there was a girl named Brittany who loved to spread rumors. Cruel ones. She once told people that a friend of mine, Mia, had gotten expelled from a different school for cheating. Total lie. But it spread like wildfire. Mia was crushed and isolated. The teachers never addressed it, and Brittany got away with everything until senior year. We had a student-run yearbook committee, and Brittany was in charge of most likely to superlatives. She rigged the vote so she'd win everything. Best smile, most popular, you name it. But she didn't realize one of the editors she bullied was also the kid who handled final printing files. Quiet, nerdy, never spoken to, and fed up. When the yearbooks arrived, Brittany's photo was there all right, labeled most likely to Photoshop her personality. Underneath, a list of her own tweets where she'd mocked teachers, bragged about lying to counselors, and insulted classmates. The school tried to recall the books, but it was too late. Photos of that page hit Facebook and spread fast. Brittany didn't show up to prom, and she didn't walk at graduation. Story 14. I used to work for a guy named Curtis who thought being a boss meant being a bully. He'd berate us in meetings, laugh at ideas, and if anyone took sick leave, he'd check in at odd hours just to make sure they weren't faking it. One day, our team landed a major client. Curtis took full credit and pocketed the bonus. That was the turning point. My coworker, Jenna, started compiling emails, passive-aggressive comments, deadline manipulation, actual audio recordings from Zoom calls where he threatened people's jobs over typos. We didn't go to HR. We went higher. Jenna had connections in the parent company's legal team. She passed everything over, and soon an internal investigation began, quietly. Then came the audit. Turns out Curtis had been padding invoices, billing personal expenses as business costs, and even sent client gifts under the table to win contracts. They escorted him out in front of the entire department. We didn't cheer. We were too stunned. But that afternoon, someone bought cupcakes with "By Curtis" written in frosting. No one claimed credit. We all just ate in silence, smiling. Story 15. When I was 13, my cousin Tyler broke my Nintendo Switch and swore it came that way. He made me cry in front of everyone, and my aunt believed him. She even told my parents I was being dramatic. 2 years later, karma finally showed up, with a twist. Tyler got a job at a local video game store. He bragged about it all the time, especially about how he borrowed stuff and resold it online. One of his classmates took a screenshot of his eBay account and sent it to the store owner anonymously. Turns out Tyler had been stealing limited edition merchandise and recording unboxing videos using store displays. The owner staged a trap, left a fake, rare console in the storeroom, then waited. Tyler took it, and the police were waiting in the parking lot. Security footage, eBay sales, timestamps, everything. He got fired and had to do community service. But the best part? At Thanksgiving, someone asked, "Tyler, still into gaming?" I said, "Yeah, but my consoles work. You want to borrow one?" Even his mom laughed. Story 16. At a former job, we had a guy named Peter who always boasted about being untouchable. He'd openly take credit for other people's work, flirt inappropriately with interns, and once even told HR to relax when someone complained about his behavior. But the tipping point came when he snitched on a junior designer, Eli, for a minor design error that wasn't even his fault. Peter exaggerated the mistake so badly that Eli was demoted and nearly quit the company. But karma had already clocked in. Our company had been developing new software for high-end clients, and Peter had insisted on leading the pitch to the board. What he didn't know was that the presentation files were watermarked, each version tied to the person who edited or accessed them. He copied one of Eli's older designs, added a few words, and passed it off as his original. Eli, who still had admin access, quietly informed IT. 2 days later, during the board pitch, the software glitched and revealed a warning. Unauthorized copy, created by Eli R. The room went silent. Peter tried to recover. Didn't work. By the end of the day, he was escorted out. No goodbyes, no clearance to return. Eli? He got a full apology and his promotion reinstated. That watermark was poetic justice. Story 17. There was a landlord in my town named Carl who was infamous for scamming tenants. He'd keep security deposits for fake damage, hike rent mid-lease, and even shut off heat during the winter to force people out early. Most people didn't have the time or resources to fight back. But then he messed with the wrong person. A single mom named Rhonda moved in and paid 6 months up front. 3 months later, Carl said she had unauthorized pets and threatened eviction. Her son had a stuffed animal collection. That was it. Rhonda was furious. She worked in real estate law. She didn't argue. Instead, she installed security cameras, collected all lease communications, and interviewed former tenants. Then she compiled a thick binder and sent it straight to the state housing authority. Carl's properties were inspected, and every single one failed. Mold, gas leaks, illegal wiring, fines piled up. Then a lawsuit followed, with Rhonda helping organize a tenant class action. He lost 3 properties, owed nearly $100,000 in back payments and penalties, and eventually declared bankruptcy. Rhonda moved out smiling and handed out Know Your Rights flyers to every new tenant he tried to swindle after. Story 18. In college, I was in a drama club with a guy named Leo, who thought he was the next Broadway legend. He bullied shy students, sabotaged auditions, and even stole someone's monologue once and performed it like it was his. The director knew he was talented but never saw the cruelty behind the scenes until the semester talent showcase. Leo bragged all week about a custom-written monologue he was going to perform. Turns out it was lifted verbatim from a little-known playwright's online script. Someone in the audience recognized it. She was friends with the original writer. She called it out mid-performance. Leo froze, then tried to argue. She stood up and read the copyright notice from her phone. The audience gasped. The faculty advisor pulled Leo off the stage immediately. His theater scholarship was revoked. His name was removed from future productions. His ego didn't recover either. Last I heard, he switched majors to focus on business. The rest of us? We clapped louder than ever for the quiet kids he used to mock. Story 19. My uncle ran a small family-owned hardware store for decades, and he had a longtime employee, Dave, who was like a son to him. Trusted him with the keys, payroll, everything. What no one knew was that Dave had been skimming money for years. Not enough to get noticed fast. Just slow leaks. Discounts that didn't exist. Lost receipts. Fake vendor returns. It wasn't until my uncle went into the hospital and I stepped in to help that I noticed irregularities. Inventory was off. The cash register didn't match. One night I stayed late and checked the security camera logs. Dave had turned off certain cameras, except the backup feed from the break room camera, which caught the entire cash routine. I showed my uncle. He was devastated. We didn't confront Dave right away. Instead, we contacted a forensic accountant and compiled full evidence. When Dave came in Monday morning, the police were waiting. He was arrested on the spot. Over $47,000 gone. And because it was theft from a small business, he was charged harshly. The betrayal hurt, but my uncle rebuilt, and the community rallied behind him. As for Dave, he lost the trust of an entire town over a few bucks at a time. Story 20. I once worked with a woman named Trina, who was an expert at making others look incompetent to raise herself up. She'd accidentally forward confidential feedback, claim she was fixing others' mistakes, and constantly micromanage projects she barely contributed to. She targeted me during a product launch, saying I forgot to submit a required compliance form. My manager was furious. I checked. I had submitted it. Trina had deleted the submission from the shared drive and replaced it with an outdated version. I couldn't prove it, but karma was listening. A month later, Trina was bragging about a job interview at a competitor company. She used our company's product deck as her portfolio, except she left in a slide with confidential data only meant for internal use. The competitor flagged it and contacted our company. Trina was fired for leaking proprietary content and breaching her NDA. She tried to claim it was an accident, but her file access logs showed otherwise. The kicker? I ended up getting her old role with a raise. Karma didn't rush, but it brought receipts. Story 21. In our small office, we had a woman named Beverly, who was the queen of false flattery. She'd bring cupcakes for everyone while quietly planting seeds to get people fired. One day, she told our supervisor that a coworker, Tom, was drinking alcohol in his coffee mug. That rumor spread like wildfire. Tom was investigated, even though the mug only had chamomile tea in it. HR found nothing, but the damage to his reputation lingered. 2 months later, Beverly's daughter started working as an intern at a partner company. Beverly bragged about pulling strings. Problem was, she also used her work email to help her daughter cheat on an internal test, actually forwarded the answers to her personal account. IT flagged the message due to data protection policies. HR opened an inquiry. Not only did her daughter lose the internship, but Beverly was fired for using company systems to interfere with external evaluations. She tried to blame stress, menopause, and even Tom, but nobody was buying it. Tom? He got promoted. He even brought in homemade cupcakes the week Beverly packed up her desk. Story 22. At my last apartment, the guy upstairs, Jason, thought the world revolved around him. He blasted music at 3 a.m., parked in two spots, and once knocked on my door at midnight to complain my shower was too loud. We filed complaints, but management never acted. He bragged that his uncle owned a stake in the property management company. Probably true. We were stuck. Until he started illegally renting out his unit on Airbnb. Someone from another unit saw the listing and booked it, under a fake name. It was the HOA president's niece. She showed up with a clipboard and hidden camera. She documented the illegal rental, the state of the unit, even the locks he tampered with to allow keyless entry. He was evicted within a week. And the best part? His uncle had sold his stake 2 months earlier. Jason had no idea. He left with his speakers in one hand and a noise violation notice in the other. Story 23. When I worked at a museum, we had a temp named Claire, who constantly acted like she was above everyone else. She'd scoff at janitors, correct curators, and once told a guest their toddler was too noisy for culture, but her favorite thing was pretending to know everything about art. She'd recite facts, loudly, in front of guests, and most were completely wrong. During a major exhibit, she claimed that a 19th century sculpture was a medieval fertility idol. She said it so confidently that guests started repeating it. We told her to stop. She didn't. So our lead historian set a trap. He invited Claire to a private tour with a visiting scholar. What she didn't know? The scholar was a well-known artist and critic with a sharp sense of humor. He asked her detailed questions, then slowly dismantled every false statement she made in front of the department head. Claire tried to backpedal, but it was too late. Her contract wasn't renewed, and she became a cautionary tale in our training manual. The sculpture she misidentified, we put a new plaque on it. Not a fertility idol. Trust us. Story 24. There was a guy in my building named Travis who constantly let his dog poop in the elevator. Yes, in the elevator. And never cleaned it up. Management posted signs, issued fines, even installed cameras. But Travis always denied it. Until one day, someone got creative. They printed a series of fake poop coupons with Travis's face and taped them all over the building. They said things like, redeem for one free hallway landmine and elevator surprise included. The real blow? One tenant worked in advertising. She made a poster-quality version and mailed it anonymously to Travis's employer. Apparently, he worked in property management. He was fired within days. After that, not only did the poop problem stop, Travis moved out entirely. Nobody missed him. Someone even framed one of the coupons and hung it in the laundry room. Story 25. My sister had a best friend named Denise who used to borrow things and never return them. Books, clothes, jewelry, all accidentally lost or already given back. We didn't like her, but my sister was loyal. Then Denise asked to borrow her vintage prom dress for a photo shoot. 2 weeks later, my sister asked for it back. Denise claimed she dropped it off. Gaslit her for days. My sister cried, convinced she'd forgotten it somehow. A month later, we saw the dress, listed on eBay. My sister emailed the seller pretending to be a buyer and asked for a pickup address. It was Denise's house. She showed up with two friends and rang the bell. Denise opened the door and froze. My sister didn't yell. She took the dress and simply said, "You're blocked, the kicker." My sister's college roommate ran a popular fashion TikTok and made a video about it, complete with screenshots and the recovered dress. It went viral. Denise lost a dozen online clients she was working with as a stylist. Now she's rebranding again. Story 26. I used to work at a family-owned restaurant where the owner's son, Todd, thought he was untouchable. He'd clock in late, mess up orders, flirt with customers, and then laugh while blaming the staff for anything that went wrong. We tolerated it because no one wanted to lose their job. One night, during a massive catering event for a local politician, Todd got drunk on the job. He spilled red wine all over the buffet, blamed the server, then disappeared for 2 hours. Except this time, the client had brought a photographer to document the event, and that camera caught everything. The wine spill, the slurred speech, Todd stumbling back into the kitchen. The client forwarded the photos and video to the owner, who had no idea what his son was really like at work. The fallout was epic. Todd was banned from the restaurant, forced into rehab, and the owner personally apologized to the entire staff and handed out raises to those Todd had harassed or blamed. He eventually hired a real manager. The restaurant's rating went up. Todd? Last I heard, he's still working on himself, somewhere far from customers. Story 27. There was a guy in my university dorm, Marcus, who treated the laundry room like his personal kingdom. He'd remove your clothes mid-cycle, toss them on the dirty floor, and once left someone's delicates outside in the snow, for fun. No one could catch him in the act, until finals week. A girl from the third floor, tired of her clothes being soaked and thrown out, placed a hidden GoPro behind the detergent shelf. The footage caught Marcus mid-toss, laughing like a villain in a cartoon. She didn't confront him. She uploaded it anonymously to the dorm Facebook group with the caption, "Laundry Gremlin Reveal." It exploded overnight. People printed stills and taped them to every dryer. Marcus was too embarrassed to leave his room. The RA reported him for harassment, and he lost housing privileges for the next semester. Nobody ever touched anyone else's laundry again. Story 28. My co-worker Natalie was infamous for playing dumb to get out of tasks, but smart enough to steal credit for others' work. In team meetings, she'd interrupt, overtalk, and then summarize with ideas that weren't hers. She did it to me once on a big product redesign. I'd worked late nights, revised dozens of drafts, and when we finally presented, she jumped in and said, "This is the concept I pitched last month." I was stunned. My boss seemed unsure who to believe, so I waited. I had kept dated sketches, emails, and time-stamped files for every step of the project. After the meeting, I sent them in a polite email with no accusations, just clarification. The boss replied with one line, "Thanks for confirming the source." 2 days later, Natalie was pulled from all client-facing work. The boss assigned me to lead the next project solo. Natalie still works there, but now she says nothing in meetings. It's amazing how quiet someone gets after karma prints out receipts. Story 29. A guy at our gym named Owen thought he was above the rules. He'd never wipe down machines, record people working out without consent, and one time used the squat rack for over an hour just filming himself from different angles. When confronted, he'd mock people. "It's a public gym. Deal with it." Then he tried that on the wrong person. a quiet older guy named Ray. Ray never spoke, just did his workouts like a machine. One day, Owen started recording near Ray's bench and loudly commented on his form. Ray didn't say a word. Instead, he took his phone out and filmed Owen, then went straight to management. Turns out Ray was a retired attorney, and he filed a privacy complaint and a harassment report. Management suspended Owen's membership pending review. When Owen showed up the next day to complain, security escorted him out. We never saw him again. The gym has been quieter, cleaner, and far less cringe since. Story 30. Growing up, I had a neighbor named Mrs. Langley who hated kids. She'd call the city if your basketball rolled into her yard, yell if your bike was parked near her grass, and once threatened to sue a family because their son's kite disturbed her meditation, but she especially hated Halloween. Every year she'd leave out a sign that read, "No candy, no trespassing, no joy." Then one year she called the police on a 6-year-old who stepped on her lawn in a dinosaur costume. That was the last straw. The next Halloween, the entire neighborhood coordinated. Parents dressed as zombie lawyers, property inspectors, and ghost litigators. Kids pretended to serve fake summonses to her door, complete with spooky sound effects and monster legal jargon. She came outside yelling and slipped on the fake cobwebs we'd strung from her mailbox to a nearby tree. She wasn't hurt, but she was filmed. That video hit local Facebook and turned her into an overnight meme. Karen Stein of Maple Lane. The next year, she left out candy, full-size bars. Story 31. When I worked as a hotel receptionist, we had a regular guest named Leonard, a wealthy older man who thought tipping gave him a free pass to be awful. He snapped at staff, left towels all over the hallway, and constantly made creepy comments to the housekeepers. But he especially loved one trick: ordering room service, then claiming the food was cold or wrong so he could get a refund after finishing the whole plate. We had to comp him every time, as management was afraid to lose a high-value client. Until one new hire, a 19-year-old server named Malik, had enough. He asked to personally handle Leonard's order and discreetly placed a small high-res temperature data logger under the food tray. Completely legal, and part of the kitchen's new initiative to track heat loss in trays. When Leonard complained again, Malik pulled up the time-stamped graph showing the food never dropped below safe serving temperature. Better yet, the device also logged how long the lid had been off. It had been removed 40 minutes earlier, meaning Leonard ate everything, then waited to call. We submitted the report to management. They finally flagged Leonard's account. Not only did he lose his preferred guest status, he was banned from all sister hotels. Now that's what you call a room temperature reckoning. Story 32. In my freshman year of high school, a girl named Kayla somehow became the unofficial queen bee. She was smart, sure, but she had a vicious habit of humiliating people who challenged her. If you corrected her in class, she'd mock your clothes. If you beat her score, she'd spread rumors about cheating. Then came the science fair. Kayla presented a flashy volcano project and won first place, but a quiet kid named Priya noticed something familiar about it. Too familiar. She went home, Googled a few phrases from Kayla's report, and found the exact project on a national science blog, submitted 2 years earlier by someone from Oregon. Priya printed everything. She didn't say a word publicly, just handed it to the teacher with both reports side by side. The next week, Kayla's trophy was gone from the case. Her name was removed from the school website. She wasn't suspended, just erased from the entire event. And Priya? She didn't even want the trophy. She just wanted the truth. Kayla's power dwindled fast after that. People stopped being afraid of her. Turned out, without fear, she wasn't all that special. Story 33. My older brother's friend Eric once scammed people in our neighborhood by offering computer repairs he never completed. He'd take their laptops, keep them for weeks, then return them still broken, claiming the issue was internal and that they should pay him anyway. It worked, sadly, especially on the elderly who didn't know better, until he tried it on Mr. Wallace. Mr. Wallace was 74, used a flip phone, and couldn't tell HDMI from USB. But what Eric didn't know? Mr. Wallace's grandson was a cybersecurity consultant and just happened to be visiting that weekend. When Eric returned the laptop fixed, the grandson ran a full diagnostic and found spyware installed. Turns out Eric was using remote access software to skim files and passwords for later resale. They didn't call the cops immediately. They called every neighbor he'd conned, collected statements, then handed the full package, device logs, screenshots, Eric's messages, to the police. He was arrested for fraud and illegal access to private devices. The court even mandated a public apology letter to the neighborhood. Eric's reputation didn't just crash, it blue screened. Story 34. I worked at a vet clinic where one of our junior staff members, Lila, was caught faking urgent pet illnesses to boost her commission on upsells. She'd tell worried owners their pet needed extra testing or emergency care. When it didn't, most people didn't catch it. They trusted the clinic. But one day she tried it on the wrong guy. An older man brought in his beagle, Max, for a routine checkup. Lila insisted the dog had signs of early kidney failure and needed immediate IV treatment, over $800. The man agreed reluctantly, but asked for a printed report. What she didn't know was that he was a retired veterinarian. He came back the next day with lab gear, credentials, and a demand to see the test results. She had faked the whole thing, down to forging initials on the treatment chart. He reported her. She was fired on the spot and later charged with professional misconduct. The clinic revamped its entire intake system after that. Max? Perfectly healthy, and now with a lifetime supply of free checkups from the new lead vet. The old man? Became a silent hero in our office. Story 35. In our university housing complex, there was a guy named Eli who sold party wristbands. Not officially, just underground. He promised access to exclusive rooftop events, DJ nights, and open bar nights for $40 a pop. The events were always canceled last minute, but no one ever got refunds. He always had an excuse. Weather, equipment issues, or security crackdown. People let it go at first, until someone got curious. A girl from the dorm, Anna, bought a ticket, then shadowed him that night. No rooftop, no DJ, nothing. She filmed him walking to a bar, pocketing cash from four others, and then disappearing into a friend's apartment. Anna wasn't just a student, she was also the RA's niece, and she ran the dorm's social media account. The next day, she posted a video montage with the caption, "Where's the party, Eli?" with clown music in the background. It got hundreds of shares. Students demanded refunds. Housing fined him for unauthorized commerce and banned him from residence halls. The next semester, Anna hosted actual rooftop events, sponsored by the university, and they were free. Eli never showed up again, but his clown emoji lived on in the comments section for months. Story 36. In my first apartment complex, there was a guy named Vince who treated the shared gym like his personal turf. He'd hoard machines, shout at people for bad form, and even unplug others' treadmills mid-run to teach them pacing. He was built like a tank, but had the ego of 10 lifters combined. No one wanted to confront him, until Maya moved in. She was small, quiet, and often wore long sleeves, but she was there at 5 a.m. every morning, training silently. One day, Vince mocked her deadlifts, calling them cute warm-ups. She didn't say a word. But that weekend, the building hosted a charity fitness competition. Maya signed up. So did Vince. And that's when we found out Maya was a retired professional powerlifter with multiple national records. She crushed every event, deadlifted triple Vince's weight, did a flawless one-minute plank with 70 pounds on her back. Everyone cheered. Vince didn't even finish the third round. He left the gym red-faced and never made eye contact again. He still lives there. But now he wipes machines and says, "Excuse me." Story 37. At my retail job, our assistant manager, Phil, was a smug control freak. He'd tweak people's schedules to punish them, tell new hires to figure it out with no training, and refuse to help when things got busy. But worst of all, he used to dock people's hours for being late, even if they were just 1 minute past, until it happened to the wrong person. Amy, a soft-spoken cashier, came in one day and found her paycheck short by 3 hours. Phil said she had left early twice. But Amy was organized and had kept a journal of every shift, clock in, and even took selfies when she left to prove it. She brought her case to corporate, but she didn't stop there. Turns out, Amy's boyfriend worked in labor law and advised her to submit a full complaint to the Department of Labor, not just for herself, but for the entire store. 2 months later, an audit happened. Phil was found to have illegally altered dozens of time cards to inflate store labor savings, a bonus metric for him. He was fired, lost his bonus, and barred from working in retail management for 5 years. Amy? She got full back pay and a quiet nod from every single coworker. Story 38. My cousin Ava was always the golden child. Perfect grades, fake smile, and a sharp tongue when no one else was listening. During family events, she loved making backhanded comments and mocking people's jobs or relationships, especially mine, because I worked as a waitress during college. You'll probably end up marrying a guy who tips you in leftover fries, she once laughed. Years later, we both got invited to the same wedding. She strutted in, bragging about working in high-level finance. But what she didn't know? The groom was a client of mine. I now worked at a private event planning firm. She came over all fake and asked if I was still doing burgers and beers. I smiled, then made the announcement mic introduction for the evening, since I was the event lead. Her jaw dropped. Later that night, she tried to flirt with one of the groomsmen, who turned out to be the very restaurant manager she had once ghosted during an internship. He laughed, sipped champagne, and walked away. Sometimes karma just needs a guest list. Story 39. When I worked in a university library, we had a student named Randall who constantly abused his privileges. He'd reserve group study rooms and lock himself inside for hours just to nap. Worse, he'd leave trash, draw on the walls, and once even left a half-eaten burger under a chair. Complaints stacked up, we warned him. He laughed. So the library tech team, fed up, implemented a quiet new system. Each study room camera now had facial recognition to log time usage. Just timestamps, no surveillance footage. The next week, Randall reserved 6 hours, again, and used only one. The system logged everything. When staff confronted him, he smirked, until they showed a chart of his entire semester's usage compared to every other student. His access was revoked for the rest of the term. Midterms, finals, group projects. He was stuck at cafe tables and open lounges. When he tried to complain to administration, they replied with a full report. You could say he studied the consequences. Story 40. I used to do freelance photography, and one of my clients, let's call him Jared, hired me for engagement photos. Seemed like a normal gig, until he asked me to send a few shots without his fiance in them. I found it weird, but figured maybe for his portfolio or something. But later that night, I saw those solo pics posted on Tinder with a caption that read, "Starting fresh, no drama." He hadn't even proposed yet. I was furious. I didn't say anything to him. Instead, I messaged the fiance directly and asked if she wanted to review the full album before final edits. She said yes. I sent her everything, including the screenshots from his profile. The engagement ended before the album was even sorted. She later hired me for a personal rebranding shoot and brought wine. Jared tried to badmouth me online, but I had receipts and a signed model release stating I could use any image for portfolio purposes. I posted a shot of him looking smug with the caption, "Don't worry, he's not taken anymore." Karma isn't always quiet. Sometimes it's high res.